Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, final show of this Packers bye week. So no Packers game to watch for us to cover on Sunday. So a chance for you and I, if we so choose, to veg out on the couch on a Sunday afternoon. Well, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, for that matter. And catch as many NFL games as maybe we would like to. Are there any on the slate this weekend that catch your eye?
You know, it's funny. Well, first off, no days off, Mike. So I will be sitting down over the weekend. I will be doing my own self-scout through the first 3 weeks of the regular season, taking a look at my reporting, seeing how exactly things I can do better, ways I can write better, new ways that maybe I could surprise people with some unscouted, unwritten looks after the bye week.
Okay.
So that'll be my plans, first and foremost. But you know what is interesting? The matchup, and you talked about this early on, I mean, you have to wait all the way to Monday, which technically isn't the bye week anymore. But, I mean, the Giants in Minnesota, I think, is going to be really entertaining.
I think that's the number one game on the entire NFL slate for the weekend is Monday Night Football this week.
Yeah, but also I think Detroit and Chicago is going to be a good football game because, as we discussed earlier this week, those are two teams that both need a win. Detroit needs it to stay in this race for the NFC North.
Yep.
And, you know, Chicago needs it to get off the schneid. So I think that's, you're going to see two really hungry football teams in that game. I think the Lions do have a lot of talent. That was evident in that game. I think they made some really smart and savvy free agent signings, with Marvin Jones being the guy that leads the way on that. So I think that one also is going to be one that I'll probably, assuming I get all my self-scout done and I'm free around noon on Sunday, I'll be checking that one out.
Yeah, I think based on what we've seen so far, I think Chicago's defense is going to have some trouble with that Detroit offense and the way the Lions like to spread them out and throw the ball around. Yeah, and the Bears just put one of their top defensive players, cornerback Kyle Fuller, on IR. He's out for at least 8 weeks, if not the entire season now. But I'll talk about two other games that I'm going to have my eye on, both in the NFC. Carolina is at Atlanta, and the LA Rams are at Arizona. And the reason I'm really curious about these games, with Carolina at Atlanta, the Falcons potentially, are developing this pretty explosive offense. They've shown that they can score a heck of a lot of points and do so quickly. The Rams going to Arizona, kind of hard to figure out just what style of play they are. We know that their defense generally is pretty good, although they weren't all that great defensively against the Buccaneers last week, so a hard team to figure out. But the reason my eye is on these games, for Carolina and Arizona's sake, the two teams that played for the NFC Championship last year, both of those teams potentially in danger of falling to 1-3 if they don't get their act together this weekend. So any thoughts there? What do you see developing?
This is my message to anyone in Green Bay, you know, fans that thought the sky was falling when the Packers were 1-1 and, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? I mean, not to be condescending about it, but I mean, this shows you the best of the best of the league. Nothing is guaranteed on Sundays. Carolina could very easily be 3-0 right now. I mean, you look at right now with where the Cardinals are at, a very disappointing showing last week against the Bills. So there's some adversity that every team has to overcome.
Yep.
Very few times is a team going to run the table in terms of being able to get off to one of those 8-0, 9-0 starts. A lot of times you got to dredge through these situations to really fortify yourself for the long run. So, yeah, it's a big challenge. And also the thing that I think that's interesting is the Rams and Falcons, on the other hand, this is an opportunity for those two teams to start 3-1.
Yeah.
There was questions about whether or not L.A. was going to score this year. Now suddenly they could be 3-1. So and I'm really intrigued by it. And certainly when you look at Matt Ryan, they've had success there in the past with the Falcons. This is an opportunity. If they want to finally be able to stake their claim again in that division, this is the way to do it.
Yeah, and those are both division games that are going to have major implications in the NFC West, the NFC West and the NFC South. With Atlanta coming off of that big Monday night victory where they rolled up, 45 points, I think, against New Orleans, and Atlanta now coming back home to face a division rival in Carolina, and a Carolina team that's, you know, a little bit on edge after getting shut out for the final three quarters against Minnesota. Cam Newton battered around, 8 sacks, 3 interceptions. I think Atlanta sees this as, you know, kind of there's some blood in the water there with the NFC champs, and I think Atlanta's going to come out firing.
No question. You got to remember, too, a lot of these guys, the veteran core of the Falcons is very much the same. They have memories of starting the season 5-0 and seeing that kind of wilt away.
Yep.
When you have your foot on the gas pedal, you need to keep it there. This is a good opportunity to do that against a good opponent. Also want to point out, too, I think the Bills and Patriots should be a good game anytime you have Rex Ryan and Bill Belichick squaring off. And then Trevor Siemian and the Denver Broncos have an opportunity to go 4-0 now, too. It's amazing what they've been able to accomplish. Two teams, both undefeated right now, that have had some legitimate questions at quarterback, and look how they're performing. That's the NFL. You got
to
love it.
Yeah, and with what the Patriots are doing, you definitely have to be impressed. And at the time we're taping this show, we're not necessarily sure where they're headed with their quarterback right. situation. But that game with Buffalo became a lot more intriguing after Buffalo did what it did to Arizona this past weekend, which I don't think anybody saw coming.
And it was a performance that the Bills desperately needed. You know, they fire Greg Roman, and there's questions about, you know, Rex Ryan and where is this team going. Well, then you come out and have a statement game like that, that certainly can turn around your fortunes in a big way.
Yeah, for sure. Well, plenty more to talk about with regards to the upcoming weekend. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we'll do something here that we're not supposed to do, that NFL teams are not supposed to do. Ooh. Which is to look ahead on the schedule, just to have a little bit of fun. Wondering just if there are any games that you have circled as the ones later in the season that maybe you have your eye on. You can't pick the next game, which is the Giants, which obviously all the focus will be on.
That's a lot
of
rules here, Mike.
Yeah. Once the players come back from the bye week, all the focus is on the Giants, and our focus will be there as well. You also can't pick December 24th against Minnesota because
okay.
that's too obvious.
All
okay.
Right.
But looking at the rest of the schedule, what game are you circling?
Well, first off, Marvin, our producer there, I wish we had the opportunity to maybe on the screen pull up where I said at the beginning of the year, hey, you know that whole thing about the weakest schedule in the league and all that? Why you can throw that out the door? It's showing right now, Mike.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
I mean, suddenly, the Dallas and Prescott look amazing. The Falcons, as we just talked about, are on a run. Philadelphia and Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. The schedule's getting pretty tough here.
Yeah, it
suddenly,
is.
Suddenly, very quickly.
Yeah, it's not what it looked like in April
yeah,
and May, for sure.
Yeah, that cupcake schedule, everybody was just circling it. I mean, it's difficult in the NFL, and things change quickly.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm going to come back to what has been the big rivalry, I would say, over the last 3 years now, outside of the NFC North, obviously, with the Seattle Seahawks. I think that game's going to hold a lot of water, not only for the playoff picture and how things are going to come together, but really some of that jostling for position right before the playoffs. There's been some really good competitive games between those two, not even counting the NFC Championship from the 2014-15 season. So I think that's the game I'm still kind of looking at. Lambeau Field, December 11th, you really can't beat it.
Yeah, and for all of the questions through the first 2 weeks about Seattle, they score a touchdown right at the end at home in week one to beat Miami, and then they don't even score a touchdown in L.A. against the Rams, and they lose. Then they come out and just light up the 49ers, and they start looking like the Seattle that we all expected them to look like. Now we'll see what happens with Russell Wilson
yeah.
and his knee injury and how that impacts things. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to be a factor come December 11th. And I think that is a game to definitely have your eye on in terms of the big picture in the NFC and how some things could shake out.
No question. I give John Snyder so much credit, the DePere, Wisconsin native, and certainly an executive here for a number of years with the Packers.
Yeah.
The Packers in Seattle were the two teams I think that had the youngest teams going into the season, the most undrafted free agents that made the team have been playing on the team. He finds a way, man, to really cultivate some diamonds in the rough, and they've done it again there in Seattle. And despite losing a couple guys over the course of the years to free agency, still a really strong foundation that they've built.
Yeah, and I think another game on the schedule, certainly ESPN Monday Night Football will have their eyes on it, the way things are developing, that that Monday Nighter in late November in Philadelphia,
yeah,
with all the Carson Wentz mania, the jokes about the Rocky statue at the steps of the Philadelphia Art Museum being replaced by a Carson Wentz statue here as his rookie season goes along. But the Eagles are 3-0. As we talked about earlier this week, that victory over the Pittsburgh Steelers, you take nothing away from them as far as what they accomplished there. And if the Packers are in the position that they hope to be and that I think we expect them to be, that Monday night in Philadelphia could be an awfully big game.
Yeah, no question. And I'm interested to see it. That'll be my first time in Philadelphia, and I've heard all the horror stories in terms of the crowd and the verbal beat down, so to speak,
yeah,
that they are.
It's a different environment. It's a different environment for sure.
Yeah, but and at the same time, you give them credit. I mean, they're a fan base that certainly they're going to let you hear it when they're not happy, but when you are doing the right things on the field and having success, they're going to praise you like no other either, and certainly we're seeing that happen for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, interesting too that actually the Packers have not been back to Philadelphia since the wild card game of the 2010 playoffs, so there's a lot of players on this roster now, 6 years later, that have not played a game in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And as I say, it's a different environment and certainly prime time on Monday night. And if the Eagles can build on this strong start that they've had, that could really, really be a big-time game.
Yeah, and it's going to be the tail end of a really difficult stretch for the Packers with Tennessee, Washington, a Sunday night football game, and then Philadelphia on the road. That's going to be kind of the meat grinder of the schedule, and it's one of the reasons why I said you have to have success now when you get this run of games at home, because in November that's going to be a tough one to get through.
Yeah, and that after this stretch of home games here, which as we talked about, we hope the Packers kind of get on a roll and get some more things straightened out. That that road trip to Atlanta on Halloween weekend, I believe it is, the Atlanta Falcons. Those fans are going to remember that 2010 yeah. divisional game when they were the number one seed. They were thinking and talking Super Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers went into that the Georgia Dome and took care of business. I think there are a lot of Atlanta fans who are not going to forget that one.
Yeah, it's weird. Now that you finally said it, it sort of dawns on me. This is kind of like the 2010 rewind, you know, like going back and having a chance to relive all these venues for the first time now. Yeah, it'll be a really interesting football game. And again, the way that they're playing right now offensively, it looks like the Falcons can keep up with pretty much anybody.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll throw it to a break on that note and back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we know from the Insider Inbox column we do on the website that there's almost nothing that gets fans more riled up, aside from wins and losses,
right,
than the uniforms, the colors, the way the Packers look. And these next three home games, turning our attention now to the more immediate future, these next three home games are all interestingly going to have a different uniform element to them. The Sunday night game against the Giants will be the breast cancer awareness game, where the players will have the pink gloves and the pink shoes and the pink towels and the pink wristbands and all of that. Then the following week you have the Dallas Cowboys coming in, and that will be the throwback uniforms.
Yep.
With the old look from way back in the Curly Lambeau era. And then the Thursday night game against Chicago will be the Color Rush game, where the Packers will be wearing the all-white Color Rush uniforms with the Bears going in the all-dark navy. So for those who like the change-ups as far as the clothes and stuff, these next three games are probably their favorites.
Yeah, and maybe it's just because I think the Color Rush is kind of intended to be attractive to my generation. I always love it. I love it. Whether it's a good jersey, a bad jersey, I just think it's a really nice change up. I think it fits well with the Thursday night games. If you're going to play the Thursday night games, have a different type of element to them.
Sure.
So I'm really excited about it. I got to be honest with you. I think the all white is going to look really sweet. I know that people talk about, well, the jersey isn't too different from the traditional road jerseys, but I just think with the white pants and everything, I think that's going to be a real classic look. It's a way to still have the integrity and the heritage and the history of the Packers,
yep.
but just a little bit of a different tie into it. I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah,
and at least you'll be able to tell who the different teams are. That'll help.
Yeah, well, that's why I think the going with the all-white is the right move here for the Packers, because if the Bears are going with the all-navy, which they've worn against Green Bay before
right.
In some of the home games. I know the one in Champaign when the Bears were renovating Soldier Field, the Bears wore the navy pants with the navy shirts, but the Packers can't go against that with either an all gold or an all green look. It just that would be, I think, a sight for sore eyes either way. So you almost have to go with the all white if you're Green Bay there.
Well, and then there was those things trickling out, I think, where people were saying like these could be the possible colors. It was a few months ago before this all got announced, and it was like there were some of them that were saying it was going to be orange versus the Packers gold. And it was going to be like, how would that work?
Yeah, I don't think that would make a whole lot of sense.
It'd be like watching like a bunch of like Starbursts like running around out there. I mean, just like it'd be tough to follow, especially
yeah.
if you have like a eye thing. But anyway, regardless, I think it's going to be really interesting and traditional. I love, obviously, the breast cancer awareness efforts that the league does. I think that's always a neat little change up to be able to add that element on the field.
Yeah, they put like the pink padding on the goalposts
yeah.
usually and everything too. It gives it a different look, and it's become an annual tradition now in the league.
I'm trying to think, is there like any achievements that have happened like when they're wearing the pink stuff, you know, the
oh boy.
Accessories. I remember Bill Hall with the Brewers. You remember that?
Like oh, yeah,
every
Mother's Day. Yeah, the Mother's Day with the pink
bats.
He'd
hit a home run.
Yeah.
It'd be his only home run all year.
Yeah.
But he'd get it that day. I think that that'd be cool if something could develop with that. I'm going to go back and research
this
last few.
You're going to research the breast cancer awareness games?
See, like, if maybe Jordy
yeah.
scored a touchdown, everyone.
Yeah, check the photos in the photo archive. Well, I will say this. I actually checked the photo archive to determine that, getting back to the color rush, the last time the Packers wore white jerseys at Lambeau Field was actually 1989.
Really?
It was a September 1989 home game against the New Orleans Saints. And I always wondered, I looked it up and it was only 70-some degrees that day, but I wonder if maybe the forecast, it was supposed to be a hotter September
so
day,
and
so they were wanting the Saints to wear their black jerseys on mm-hmm. on a warm Green Bay day. But anyway, the one we've got coming up right away here against the Giants is the breast cancer awareness, and a lot of the Packer players certainly participate with the pink garb, I guess you might
yeah,
say.
Yeah, no question. I've being a part of this now and covering, I think I've covered Packer home games for the last 6-7 years now. It's such a neat day, and you know they hand out the ribbons in the press box too, and just really obviously an important, very important topic.
Yeah,
and to see them kind of step up with that, I think it really shines a nice light on it. And even you know the throwback game too with Dallas, that's always a fun one. To see that, and obviously the variation that they used starting last year, I think that'll be cool. And if nothing else, it's obviously an interesting change of pace and in a way to it's been an interesting year already. The Packers wore their home jerseys in Jacksonville, so
yeah.
Why not have three consecutive weeks where it's a little bit different?
Yeah,
well.
We're a little bit different. And Brett Favre will be back for that throwback game
Absolutely.
Against the Cowboys. He'll be getting his Hall of Fame ring, and also his name will be unveiled along with all the other Pro Football Hall of Famers on the facade at Lambeau Field to go along with the number that was retired right. last year. So, well, with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment here during the bye week. Let's revisit our favorite moments, you might say, from the first three games of the 2016 season. Do you have a play, a moment that stands out in your mind as your favorite thus far in the early stages of 2016?
Well, you know, in yesterday's episode, we talked about our MVPs so far, and I mentioned Aaron Rodgers. And one of the plays that I thought he made, and it goes back to that opener in Jacksonville with the heat, the conditions, that pass, I think it was 29 yards for the touchdown with Davante Adams.
Yeah.
There's so many plays that he's made over the course of his career. I don't know where it ranks, but in terms of the difficulty of the quarterback position, You know, Jalen Ramsey's pulling him down by his shoulder. He whips that thing up there. Davante Adams in coverage against Devon House, former Packers cornerback, is being held. Defensive pass interference call, but Adams goes up, gets it, brings it down, and just smashes that ball down on the ground. it's just such an important play, I think, for him, for Rodgers to be able to uncork that one.
Yeah.
It was QB1 epitomized, and just a remarkable, remarkable play.
Yeah, as you mentioned, the degree of difficulty there, the Olympic judges, if that were, you know, being rated, the degree of difficulty on that one would be pretty high. I'll pick another offensive play, and that would be the 49-yard pass up the seam to Jordy Nelson. It didn't go for a touchdown. It set up a touchdown, but I think the most important thing is it showcased maybe where this Packers offense is headed with Jordy Nelson really getting back to being the old Jordy. Now, that was a play where Nelson was matched up on a linebacker. They saw the matchup, exploited it right at the snap, and sent Nelson down the seam, and the pass was right on target. But again, for me, the best sign that we've seen so far that the big plays with Jordy Nelson that were so prevalent in 2014 could be coming back to this offense.
Well, and that's the reason I really liked that play when you mentioned the mismatch against the linebacker. Getting Jordy Nelson into the slot, really impressive move, and obviously got him back in with those big plays.
Yeah, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention on the defensive side of the ball that 4th-and-1 stop in Jacksonville.
Huge.
To win that game. A lot of defenders, Demarius Randall, Morgan Burnett, Joe Thomas, Nick Perry, a lot of guys involved in that to get that play done. And as we know, there are going to be more games this season that will come down to the defense needing to make a stop, a crucial stop in the final minutes of the fourth quarter. And the fact that the Packers got a win like that in the first game of the season, I think, bodes pretty well. So we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodge. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.